Welcome to Holding Center, a podcast created to help you own and hold center stage, not only on show day, but also in your life. I'm your host, Ashley Markham, owner of Myo Strength, and joined with me is my co-host, Ashley Spoker, owner of B&B Fit. Let's hold center.
Yeah, so that was the first time in my life. So hip thrusts have always been like a real big weakness for me because I'm very, very quad and hamstring dominant, always have been. So like my glutes have always been so weak. So for me to even like, and I was never doing hip thrusts appropriately for like majority of my life, probably until I started working with Mark almost 3 years ago. I didn't really know how to do it properly. And I thought I was. So I had to like start the fuck over. I remember like trying to send videos of me training and he's just like, dude, just use the bar. Don't even put any fucking weight on. Like that's how bad it was. He's just use the bar. Like your mechanics are fucking terrible. So, oh, okay. So it like doesn't look as cool because I'm one of those people that just keeps loading the weights on. I won't load it off and like put like a bigger plate on. So technically that's two plates. And like, that's what I wanted. I was like, oh, I want to get to 225. Like really, maybe like, I don't know, like really cool, I guess. So it is two plates on each side, but I have like a 25, a 10, a 10, and whatever else. But yeah, so that was good. I'm really sore today from it, but that was like a big PR for me. And I'll probably just hang there until I can get a few more reps because I got like six plus three. I was like, when you log in, I know you're not really logging right now, but like those half little reps, do you just like put like a plus or do you not like count those?
What I'll do is I'll do like 10F plus three partials. Like I will like log that, like I didn't just like say that I failed without even like trying, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I do. Cause I'm just like those little partials count, those half reps. I think they count for something. Cause you're like, oh, we're almost there. Right. Which is cool. But how has your week been? How are you?
Dude, I am just, I'm so tired of being a fucking dick to myself. Like, I'm not even gonna like sit here and be like, oh, everything's hunky dory. Like my OCD is at an all time high. Like I even got to the point where I ordered Bliss from Morphogen just to help me with like the neurotransmitter section to help even me out. But a lot of it is just working on how I think about things and the obsessive like behavior that just envelops me mentally. So like you kind of already talked about, like I am not recording my lifts right now, both in the logbook or in like training videos. Like I am just trying to like strip away things so I'm not feeling overwhelmed and so consumed with symmetry activation and shit like that. Because people with OCD, some of their triggers can be like health effects. And although mine is not like, oh, I'm worried I'm going to get sick or my family's going to get sick or die, for me, it's rooted in imperfection when it comes to hip balance and symmetry, because I'm in a sport that requires balance and symmetry. So it's just one of my like things that I pick at. And like I said, this week, it was awful. Like Eric literally pulled me out of the gym on Thursday. He was like, you need to leave. He's like, we're leaving. He's like, we're done. And it, like I said, I'd never been this bad before. So that's definitely like, it's defeating, but I need to focus on having some fun because as of right now, like I hate life. Like I'm not having fun. Like it's just not in a place where I deserve to be. And I'm someone that unfortunately thrives off being needed. Like I want to, like obviously I'm a coach, right? Like I want to give to my athletes, my husband, I want to give to my friends, but like, unfortunately, I swear to God, I'm gonna cry.
Okay. I think part of it too, like this may help you with you being like, I need to be needed, but like who needs you the most right now? You, yourself.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I am giving everyone else, but like, I need myself right now. That sounds so fucking stupid, but it's not. It's like, I want to give to everyone else and it's at the expense of me. And it's like, I want to be good for everyone else. But what happens is, like, I expect the worst from myself. And it's awful. It's awful to feel this way.
It really is. Like, I was in a spot, probably, like, going through my health phase when I was like that. I put myself in, Well, I was in that health phase. I put myself full-time coaching. I had, 45 athletes. I was in a mentorship with Progressive Performance, which is a training company, doing a whole bunch of back-end stuff for them. And I kept driving myself into the fucking ground. This chair that I'm sitting in right now, it reclines because it reclines all the way back to because I was sleeping in my office. That's how
Wow.
it, yeah. And I got to the point where you're at now where like nothing was fun. I started to hate bodybuilding. I had no hope. Left for myself. I didn't enjoy life. My relationship ended. It was so defeating to me. And it was like, what is going on? What's the issue? Like my Hashimoto's kept getting worse. My mental health kept declining. I started binging again. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And it's like, oh my God, I needed to show up for me. And I wasn't. I was just pouring out of an empty cup and there was nothing that was filling my cup up. And essentially, this Ash texted me this yesterday, and we were just like talk. I asked her a question, and she's like, "I can't answer that right now. Like, I'm just, too into my OCD." And I was like, "Okay, I respect it." And I was like, "Let me know if I can do anything." She's like, "I need more grace, and I need more, softness from you." And I was like, "Okay," because we're very blunt people. And I was thinking about this all night last night, which is funny. So it was like just ruminating in my head because like I get up and I pump and I just think about things because I'm trying not to be on my phone in the middle of the night anymore. And I was like, you know what? I was like, yes, Ash does need grace and comfort and love and support from me, but she needs it from herself.
For sure.
And that. And the toughest thing is connecting those dots. Like we are very self-aware people. And it's like, we know the issue, we know the problem. And it's frustrating when we can't solve the problem because we're problem-solving people. Like it's in our DNA. It's why we coach. It's why we do the things that we do. And it's like, we're very like, what makes it tick? Why is it like that? What can we do? But it's like you get to a point where emotions are just so extremely high and intense and overwhelming. And it's hard to like back down to like that bird's eye view or that logical thinking because you're so ramped up. And it's like, it's so defeating. And like you said, you're not having fun. You're not enjoying life. And, I tried to explain this to you the other day, and I definitely think, it got kind of put the wrong way. And I was like, bodybuilding is a hobby. And you're like, it's so much more than that. I'm like, I get that. But it in the grand scheme of things, it's a hobby. It should be fun. It should be enjoyable. And yeah, like it's a big, big hobby. It's a, like a big one. Like it's not just one where you're like, yeah, painting's my hobby. I paint every sixth Saturday.
I knit on the weekends. Like,
Not even that much. Yeah, I knit like maybe four times a year, but it's a hobby for me. Like that's cool. Great, great. Well, love that you do that. But or if whoever does it, and it's like bodybuilding is just more of an intense one, but it still should be fun. And it sucks when you love something so much and it's not fun anymore. And it's like, okay, well, where did it go wrong? Where did the train fall off the tracks? And how do I get that train back on track? And I think for me, and maybe this will help you, like I was trying so hard to get that fucking train back on track. And I had to realize that I had to get on a new track. That track, I was never going back to it. I couldn't go back to it. And I think I was telling you the other day, I was like, I'm just vibing. Like everything, all of a sudden, it just kind of fell into place, but it wasn't easy. I was going through what you were going through. I was crying. I was upset. I was going to quit bodybuilding a couple months ago because I was putting so much pressure on myself to come back from postpartum. And I think a lot of it has to deal with do like verbalizing and letting people know where you're at because I mean I kept my pregnancy and my postpartum a secret and that was so heavy. That was so heavy because I felt like I was in a silent struggle.
That's literally what it is. It's like I told Eric, like when I'm in like my spirals, I was like, I'm alone in this. I feel alone in this, even though like I have people in my corner. I have him, I have you, I have Austin, I have my physical therapist. But like when your thoughts are so loud, they're screaming at you, and that's all you can fixate on and ruminate on, like you forget that you have other people that are like talking to you. Like you forget that you have other people that are on your side. But like for me, it's like it's just been so deafening lately that I'm like, I cannot keep going like this because I know what burnout is. I went through, a horrible depression spell back in 2020 when like COVID like took over the world. And it's like, I told myself, I am not going back there. So it's like, you need to pull back so that way you don't end up digging yourself in a big hole. So it's like, do what makes sense. Like if you're putting so much fucking pressure on training and being perfect, like stop taking training videos. Stop assessing yourself. Stop like detailing like your lifts. Just like go in and train to have fun. Like, thankfully, I'm not viewing bodybuilding. I'm not hating bodybuilding. I don't view it as a chore yet, but it's one of those things where it's like, just start to pull back so you have fun again and reintroduce other hobbies that do bring you enjoyment. So, like today, I baked Eric brownies and I had fun doing that. Made a complete mess of my kitchen, but like, who cares? Like, messes can be cleaned up. And it's like, I don't think I understood really how bad my compulsions were until like this week when they just, like I said, it just like took over my thoughts by storm. And it's like, whenever I was like sitting at work or going on walks or the gym, it's like my hips, hips, my hips. And it's like, Jesus Christ, I can't even go on a walk with Eric without thinking about like my hips being Tetris. And it's like, okay, we need to take a step back. Like, literally, I had a consult with a guy last week who has cancer. And he was asking me my opinion on how to help heal his body post radiation and chemotherapy. He's like, I've been following you along for years now. I'm a big supporter of you, for family and friends to you. And he's like, I follow a lot of people on Instagram, but there's not a lot of people who I would take advice from. And I'm like, Jesus, that is powerful. Like, this man literally is like, unfortunately, like not dying, but like, has cancer and went through all the treatment. And he values what I have to say to help him. Like, that's the shit that matters. So it's like, literally, like when it comes to putting pressure on yourself, pressure is good as long as you're not breaking the fucking pressure gauge. Like, 'cause we don't want to stay the same. We don't want to stay complacent. But my thing is, and also your thing to some extent, is like, we know how to white bare knuckle things. We power through because that's like our mode of operation. But being gentle, being graceful, like that's very much uncharted territory. So it's like, I know this is going to sound stupid, but like, instead of saying, oh, my hips are uneven, I have uneven hips. And just that change in vocabulary, when you assume ownership over something that like is just wrong with you, especially when perfection for me is like one of my things, it's like, fuck, well, I can work on it, but like, is it ever going to be perfect? Am I literally going to let that take away the love of life, training, bodybuilding, like walks with my husband? Bruh, come on. Like, no.
And like, yeah, like you can say that now, like logically, you're like, oh, come on, like really, like let's get over it. But like when you're in the thick of it, like it's fucking hard.
It
Like,
is.
it really is. So like, I don't want you to tell yourself like your feelings aren't valid or that like it's not uncommon or unnormal for you to feel like this extent and have it be this hard, because the reality of it is it is, and you've been suffering, right? And the logical part of your brain is like, yeah, just get over it, dude. It's not that big of a deal. And it really isn't. It really isn't. But to you right now, like it is a big deal, and that's okay that it's a big deal. The problem comes when we have these quote unquote big deals and we don't do anything about them, right? We don't make the change. We don't put in the effort. And that's the issue that I think a lot of people get stuck in. It's like, oh man, I'm having problems. And speaking of this guy that you consulted with, he's like, okay, well, I had cancer, I had all this radiation, I could just sit here and continue like, well, my health's already fucked, like I already had cancer, I already got all this radiation, like whatever, He's like, no, like I want to get healthier, I want to get better, I want advice from you, I want you to guide me. Like he wants to make an effort to feel better every day, to come back from this. And like rather than him just like moping around like a lot of sick people do, he's advocating for himself and wanting to make those changes, which is huge. But like you said, like your hips are wonky and that's the way it is. Like let me just tell you an example of something that happened to me. So I went to Nationals on 2021 North Americans, and I'm one of those people that after the show I always stay and I'm the last person to talk to the judges to ask my feedback. I always stay. I'm like, I'm not someone
I
who's like,
love
I got,
that. I love that about you.
yeah, I don't know if my old coach told me to always do that. I don't know where it came from, but I was like, it's fine. Like I would wait in line. I would have like my mom bring me a water and a yogurt. That was like my post-show thing, like a yogurt and water, 'cause I didn't have dairy during peak weeks. I was like, oh, that's what I want. So anyways, I remember going and talking to Sandy Williams, head female judge, and she's like, you have you need more density, you're really conditioned, you have really great stage presentation. She's like, but she's like, you're kind of imbalanced and it's not really your fault. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, I want you to look at your stage photos when you get them back. And I was like, okay. She's like, look where your hips sit compared to the other girls and look at the top of the screen where your height is. We are all the same height, but my butt, my glutes sit probably mid hamstrings for 80% of the other girls on stage. She's like, that was the first thing I noticed. Like, you got a really, really, really long torso. And I was like, okay. I was like, okay, well, what do you think I should do about that? And she's like, there's really only two things you can do because you can't change that about yourself. Like, you're unbalanced top to bottom. Like, you're just, I actually think she said three. She's like, you could go to wellness, but she's like, you don't have the mass for that. You don't even have the mass for a bikini. I said, thanks. And then get higher connectors for my swimsuit, my bikini and posing. And that's it. But like, she's like, essentially, like, you can't do much more because what are you going to do? Take out four ribs, two ribs on each side to shrink myself down?
Right,
Like,
take out your like L5.
and part of me was like upset because I was like, man, like, I'm not made for this sport. And I have this genetic issue of having a really long torso. I don't know, maybe I would have been a good swimmer or something. But and I really got down about myself and I was like, I can't change that. So what am I doing? What am I working so hard for? And I was like, oh wait, it took me some time, but it's like I'm working hard because I love this. And we always come back to that. Like, we love the monotony of the sport and how rewarding it is when your hard work pays off. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't come with struggles. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, even though like my body isn't where it needs to be perfect, perfect bikini, right? You can still be very successful because in the reality of it, there's nothing that's perfect. Like, and if there was, like, it would be the same winner of the Olympia every single year for eons and eons, and then there would never be anybody else who could win. They'd be like, well, you don't meet the standard of 5 years ago, It's always changing, and that's the thing. But like we talked about, like, it's just hard. It's hard when you have something, and I think actually you talked about this on like one of your Q&As. I think somebody asked and you were, oh, it was, they were going from bikini to wellness, and you talked about genetics and hard work. And I think, quote me if I'm wrong, but you said you have to have the genetic component for it. And to a point, yes, I can agree slightly. But I think at the end of the day, hard work, patience, and understanding will outwork genetics any day.
100%. That's why I said work ethic as well, because I understand that there might be some people out there that are like, listen, you're very much bikini. But if you take like 5 years to just detail your training around your lower body, like absolutely, you're going to put muscle there, especially if you're willing to take drugs, right? Like, of course, which is why I did put in that work ethic piece. But I think a lot of the times, like, people are like, oh, should I do wellness? When you look at their stage shots, they hardly classify as bikini, but they're just overweight. So it's really difficult to give that feedback sometimes. But it's like genetically, I don't know if this is more genetics, more like biomechanics, but it's like I broke my foot like when I was in the 7th grade. I tore my left hamstring. And so all of that's connected. And the biggest thing that I find frustrating is I am the person that has that work ethic. It's like a fucking Clydesdale. It is stone clad. Like, I am someone that will just work until I drop dead. And that is a character defect. And it's also just part of how I operate, which again is both positive and a negative. So the frustration that I have is like knowing that I've worked with PTs for like over 10 years. I've been through several PTs, like probably at least 10. And it's like I still have the same goddamn problem. And it's like no one has been able to figure out like the magic formula as to how I can have more even hips. It's like certain exercises and movements will feel good. I feel like my hips are relaxing. I feel like I'm relaxing because I have hope. And then like I swear to God, things just shit the bed. And it's like a part of that is like, well, do I literally have a true like length discrepancy? Which, like you, I'm not getting surgery to saw down my fucking femur. Like, that's so insane when it's like, I am not in any pain. I'm just worried that I'll lose functionality as I age. And I'm also worried about not looking my best on stage. And so when you asked me yesterday, like, if your hips aren't fixed, will you still compete? Bro, I was in the kitchen and I was like looking at that question and I was like internally having a panic attack because it is not something that ever came across my mind, but it is also my biggest fear. And it's like,
I think you can't see yourself though.
you're
Like,
right. You're right.
and that's the thing because, well, you just said, like, I fear that I won't be able to be my best. Well, first of all, you haven't given your best even a shot yet. I mean, you've been in off season for a long time, but next time you step on stage, like you need to tell yourself that that is your best. Right now, it is absolute fucking best, dude. And like, so it's like, oh, well, then you can't, you like, you know that that's your best. You can't just be like, well, maybe I could have been better, but like, on what scale? Like, how are you going to measure that? Like, if you've done the work and you put the fucking time in, then like, yeah, it's already there, you know? And then like, you know, I think a lot of the OCD and the hip issue is just like that perfectionism that ties into it, and it's like becoming limiting. And that's why I asked that question, because like I don't want to see you on the sidelines forever because you're scared. Obviously, fear and imperfection are so intertwined, because it's what drives it. It literally does. It's like, oh my God, like that constant fear of failure, fear of imperfection, fear of, you know, not being good enough in any way you want to say it, is it will really honestly put you in like that freeze, you know, when you're so anxious and you just like freeze and you don't do anything. I don't want to see that happen to you. So like, I'm, you know, I'm glad that you're like aware of it and like aware of your OCD and all of these things. But I also think too, like you have to at some point have, like, I mean, anybody who's listening, you have to at some point be satisfied with like enough is enough. I remember I was in therapy. I've been in with the same therapist for since 2019. I came home from Florida, and one of our first or second sessions, I had to go 3 times a week when I first started seeing her. And she's like, "You want to know something?" I was like, "What?" And she's like, I think I said no, because I don't want to fucking. Yeah.
You're like, no.
Really mean to her. I would show up at her office drunk all the time. Yeah, it was, yeah.
Bitch, would you drive?
So yeah, I already had a DUI at this point. I didn't care. So
I feel like I didn't know that about you.
yeah, I got one when I was 22, or right before my 22nd birthday. So like 8 years ago, 8.5 years ago. So
Damn. This is
yeah.
some real shit right now.
Oh, God, spilling all our secrets today. But she was like, "You want to know what I saw on the way in?" And I was like, "Please enlighten me with your wonderfulness." And she's like, "I saw a license plate that said enough." And I was like, "Okay." And she's like, "And I needed that, because I am enough. Everything is enough. It's just enough. And that's okay. It doesn't have to be more. It doesn't have to be less. And who's the one that decides if it's more or less? That's you. That's on you. So if you're mad at someone, you can blame yourself." And I was like, "Wow, I get that." And she's like, "I don't want you to take it in the way that you're gonna destroy yourself," because clearly, like, I was sitting there wasted, probably. She's like, "But I want you to understand that when you're enough, like, you're still capable of love. You're still worthy of it all. You don't have to reach these unrealistic expectations of yourself." And I think, I think honestly, like, I don't know if we live in a world and like that's how society has trained us, or if bodybuilding brings it out in us, but like there is some driver, and maybe it's because we are such hard workers and we do want the best, but there's always something inside of us that like is reaching for more, and it's hard to have like gratitude. And I don't know if it came from the society aspect or if it's bodybuilding, because I mean, every day it's be that 1% better, get better, you know, do better. And at some point, before you drain your whole entire cup out or deflate your balloon, enough has to be enough, because you'll end up like me with an autoimmune disorder and you'll be 20,000 steps back. I think back to before my last prep and how beautiful my life was. I'm not saying prep wrecked it, because it didn't, because I wanted to do it, but I let it get the best of me because I got to the point of like burnout. That was a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is something where it's like, that is what I need to work on, is like, when is enough enough? And it's like, at the end of the day, what are my long-term goals? Okay, well, I want to be getting off the floor when I'm like 80, 90 years old. You know, like, I don't want someone to like help assist me when I wipe my butt. Like, at some point, okay, sure. But like, at the end of the day, like, bodybuilding right now is like my main driver for symmetry and functionality, just for the simplicity of posing and training. But it's like, beyond that, it's like, I just want to have a good, happy quality of life. And it's like, okay, well, if I take a step back, I'm not happy right now. Like, I'm literally driving myself mad to the point of tears and emotional distress over something that I probably, if I'm being completely honest, have maybe 20% control over. But I'm someone that believes if you've been given like a bucket size capacity when it comes to your resources and your knowledge, you need to use the entire fucking bucket versus some people are only blessed with a thimble due to resources, intelligence, socioeconomic class. And, you know, even if they use their entire thimble, it's like, well, if I'm given more, I should give more. You know what I'm saying? And to some extent, I think that can be a positive thing. But when you are so fixated on giving, especially to others, and you leave yourself like in the dust, that's where it becomes an issue. So then, you know, we have things where we want to do dopamine seeking, where it's like you want to feel needed because, again, you need you, but you're not giving to you because yourself is a wreck. Why is yourself a wreck? Because you're giving to everyone else but yourself, right? And so it's like it's this vicious loop where it's like, you know, some days are worse than others, but lately it has been super bad. So it's like, okay, well, what do I do? Like, I need to learn how to have fun again and enjoy life. So it's like, you know, yes, going on walks with Eric and vocalizing when I'm having a hard time rather than like keeping that self, keeping that shit bottled in. It's, you know, baking again and like trying to have more fun with like just being creative. You know, yes, having fun in the gym, but not worrying about, oh my God, is my squat perfect? Or, you know, how does my left hip feel compared to my right hip? Like, again, I cannot stress the importance or stress the urgency that I have for perfection. Like, it has gotten to the point where I swear to God, it's like every waking thought. And like, that is so embarrassing to like admit, because like, it's literally not that big of a deal, but like, it's that like that's how bad it is right now, and it's like, fuck, dude.
That's because, yeah, I mean, it's controlling. It's literally got a chokehold on you,
Oh
like
yeah.
your perfectionism does, and that's, I mean, it's hard. And I think when trying to fill up your own cup, like it can be hard to do that when you don't know what fills your cup up, like what makes you happy, what makes you.
Dude, I literally just said that to Eric. I was like, I am not happy. And it's like, I know that he needs me, but he doesn't need anything from me. But I was like, that's the problem is I need me. I don't know what I need because my brain is like, you need to fix your hips. And it's like, no, my brain is telling me that because my OCD is telling me that because my perfectionism is telling me that. But like, I don't know what I need. And that is like, that's scary because it's like, well, then how do I fix this problem?
And like that's where you just have to start trying shit, dude. And like for me, for someone, you know, who used to binge all the time, like when I'm like, oh, I need to eat something, I'm like, no, wait, like what's going on? What do I really need right now? You know, like, because I do still have like intrusive thoughts, but I know it's like anxiety driven and stress driven, right? And like you said, you know, talk about like being creative, and creativity has such a positive impact on our lives. Like it's like, think of kids, they're always happy, you know, they're always running around, they have huge imaginations, and like we really lose sight of that, you know. And I think that's why I started reading so much lately. Like I just been reading probably about a book a week, if not quicker. Some books I finish in 2 to 3 days. And because I can imagine like the characters and I get to create that. And like, sure, there's like a storyline, but like I'm following along and like thinking about something else. And it's like giving me the ability to, you know, create these images or these lives or other people in my life. And like, it's so fun to do that for me. Like, I enjoy that, you know. And then obviously, you know, I enjoy, you said, like going on walks and things like that. But like, there has to be something. Like, I was just thinking now, I was like, wow, what did I do before when I was at like the happiest point of my life? I had over like 70 house plants. I was a little plant mom. Like, I loved taking care of my plants. And like, that was so fun to me, like learning about them. Like, if I had bugs, if they were dying, I was propagating them. I loved it. And like, that made me happy at that point in time. So it's like finding what fills your cup up. And a lot of people were like, well, I don't know. We'll try something like you baking. I've tried to bake. It pisses me off because I suck at it and it's hard. I don't like it. And I can't eat any of the baking stuff, not because of bodybuilding, but also because of like gluten-free and dairy. And if you cook without that, it sucks. It really fucking sucks. So it's like finding those quote unquote hobbies or things that just bring you know, bliss and filling your cup up, even if it is just taking 10 minutes for yourself. Like, since I became a mom, dude, like the simplest things are so rewarding and filling my cup up. Like today, my nanny came here early so I can work, and I was like, I'm gonna go to the grocery store, I'm gonna get myself a coffee. I'm gonna put it in that little cup holder because usually I can't because I'm holding my kid and pushing the cart with the other one. And I'm like, ooh. And I'm just gonna walk around the store. I'm just gonna grocery shop with a coffee by myself, like a normal person without a kid. And it was so rewarding. And now I feel like my whole cup is full. My day's great. And you know, I'm like a better mom for my kid. I'm a better girlfriend for Alex. And I just feel really refreshed. So it's just like even small things like that can refill your cup up. And I think that's when, you know, things start to turn the corner with everything. And we harp on this all the time as coaches, is like one, being your own person, and two, the amount of stress reduction it has when you thoroughly enjoy your life and how impactful that can be on your physical appearance. And it's insane. Like I posted a picture on Instagram, if you guys follow me, yesterday from June 1st to now, so 6 weeks maybe, 8 pound difference. We are not dieting. We haven't really changed training, no cardio. I don't even do 10,000 steps a day. And it's, well, one, because my sleep got better. Two, I started enjoying a lot more of my life, and my stress is down, is completely down. And it's honestly, and that's why everything is changing. But like, you know, we've been in those spots where, like Ash is right now, where it's just so hard and so difficult, and you're not alone. A lot of people are like this, but it's like you have to start taking action, and that can be the hardest step and the hardest leap. Even if you don't know what that action is, you have to do something. Like you said you're getting a new PT. Like, great, that's a great start. Maybe they're going to help, you know, maybe they're going to do something. You're making some type of change. You're telling me, you're telling Eric, you're baking, you're doing whatever you can to help guide you during this time. And it's all going to fall into place, and you're going to find that happiness and that joy again. But like, it comes down to the self-awareness and that action of actually fucking doing something, because you don't want to live like this. It's not fun. You
No,
can't live like
absolutely.
this.
Absolutely. And it's like I'm willing to try like different things because there are so many other like hobbies, enjoyable experiences. Like baking is great. I know that I love baking, so it's like or cooking, you know. So it's like I was happiest when I had more hobbies. Honest to God. So I was baking more, I was cooking more for Eric. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna cook more for Eric again because like you know, he kind of took over his own foods. And I know he likes to cook for himself, but if I asked him, sweetheart, could I start cooking for you again? He might miss being a little creative, but he would feel loved knowing that I am cooking for him again. So it's like that's so simple. Yes, it takes time, but like I have more time than I care to have right now. And all I would be doing is sitting with my OCD thoughts. And so it's like there's going to be a balance between addressing what I think about it and being okay with sitting with anxiety and sitting with nothingness, but then also again, like not ruminating, right? So there's the thing about this like mental illness is there needs to be a fucking balance because like
Oh,
either
yeah.
end of the pendulum, I've been there and it's like they're both suffering. So it's like learning how to sit and navigate with like thoughts that challenge what you think about the situation and try to like nitpick at you and invoke an emotional response versus like, bruh, not that big of a deal. Go cook your husband some food. Like that's the challenge that I have up ahead. And even just talking about it now, I feel better knowing that like, I'm not gonna be in pain so much longer, but it's still it is hard, like you were saying.
Dude, I am a strong believer that like everything does end. Like, and I don't know if we ever talked about this like during my postpartum journey. And I was just like, I know I just have to get through this week because I know it's going to get better. I know it's going to get better. You just keep waiting. And I was doing the things, and that's the difference. You're doing the things, and it's eventually going to get better. But like, if you're not doing anything, it's not going to. But like, you just have to have like that logical reasoning of like, okay, I'm fine. It's gonna be okay. It's hard, but I'm getting there, and I'm doing it. And I think, yeah, like cooking for Eric's great. Like honestly, I think cooking is so therapeutic. I really do. Like I've been making all these toddler fucking meals for my kid. It's like the funnest shit I've ever done in my fucking life. Because Alex is very big on like no seed oils, no red dye 40, no artificial sweeteners. As I'm sitting there like chugging a Diet Coke, I'm like, oh yeah, you hate this. Okay, yeah, whatever.
High
Like
Coke
whatever,
slaps though, so.
dude. So I'm trying to take a break from it. I said I was gonna go this whole week without one. I didn't have one yesterday. I haven't had one today. I have a headache because I'm having withdrawals, but I have like three girls in health phases right now, and they're like, my Diet Coke. And I was like, you know what? I'll go Diet Coke free this week with you too. Okay. We'll just all do it together. And I probably needed a break from it anyways. So yeah, like it's just fun to like create, like you said, and have that creativity and like challenge yourself. And I think one thing that I did when I was having like some pretty severe OCD, this is I went to like a desensitization, is that what you call it? Desensitize? I don't know.
Yeah, I think you nailed it.
So mine was like really hyper focused on my house because I bought my house at that time and I could not have like a inch or a centimeter or a spot of dust or dirt up in this bitch. I didn't have my dogs live with me. I kept them at my parents' house. I would not let them in my house. It was so bad. And we did this exercise, and like I couldn't leave a plate in the sink overnight. I couldn't do anything. So we did this exercise, and I'm like, okay, well, I want you to do whatever's going to pique your anxiety. So say like I didn't wash my bowl within 30 seconds of finishing my food. That was a big one for me. I couldn't leave it in the sink, which is fine. A lot of people don't like that. But anyways, that was like it was huge for me. Like I would break down if I wasn't washing it like right after my last bite.
Bro, I
And
can't even sit to enjoy my meal unless I finish the dishes. So this is hitting.
oh no, I'm like that. I'm like that too. Like I like the kitchen to be clean because after I eat, I don't want to do anything. But I know now if I didn't get to it, it's fine. But before, I thought the world was gonna end and I was gonna combust, literally. So we did this exercise of like, okay, put the bowl in the sink and time yourself 30 seconds, let it sit there, a minute, let it sit there. And then like when I got done, I'd be like, you know, all stressed out. Oh my God, I gotta wash it. I'd wash it. Okay, freak out. But then it'd be like, okay, well, what happened in those 30 seconds? Nothing. Nothing went wrong. Nothing changed. Everything is still fine. The house didn't come crumbling down. Nobody called you a sloppy pig. Like, yeah, I had like a real big fear that people thought I was gonna be messy. And it was like going through that exercise, and it was really brutal, but like it really taught me the fact of everything's okay. I am fine. I am great. I am wonderful, whether that dish is washed now, 30 seconds from now, 5 minutes from now. And I think a lot of people can, whatever you're in, whatever cycle you're in, or where you're at in your life, like I think that goes to show that like if something is like bothering you, it's okay to let it go and readdress it at another time if you need to, and take that step back until you're in a better spot so it's not crippling and making you break at the fucking seams. Because like I couldn't even leave the fucking house if my house wasn't cleaned, and that wasn't a way like. Alex would be like, this is when we lived apart. He's like, oh, like you want to come over? I'd be like, oh my God, no, I haven't vacuumed for the 10th fucking time today. I can't. Oh, you can't hang out? What do you mean? And like he was like really supportive. I'm like, I can't unless all of these boxes are checked. And like it was so limiting because I would be cleaning all day and then it'd be 10 o'clock at night. And I'd be like, oh my God, it's time to go to bed. I didn't do one thing. I couldn't do one other thing. And I think that's like kind of where you're at, because you're just like in that tornado, in that spiral, but like you're slowly like reaching your arm out to like when you're cooking or baking and like trying to grasp onto something else that's gonna like pull you out of that. So then you have that peace, you have that comfort. And then you'll learn that like when you want to jump back in the tornado for a good fun go around, you can like big wee, yeah, that was great. Okay. And then
Dude,
drop
like
your
acting on your compulsions, like it is wild. Like it's something where it's like if I have a free moment, I will look on Dr. Google for the billionth time or Dr. YouTube, like what exercises will help ease my pain? And it's not even like a physical pain, it's an emotional pain, right? Or it's like if I have a spare moment, what mobility exercise can I do with like, you know, a couple of minutes in between activities? Like it is so fucking consuming. And so it's like understanding that when those compulsion thoughts come up, to ignore them, or not to ignore them, but to understand that, hey, I'm about to be uncomfortable for the next 5 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe even hour, but don't act on them. So it's like for me, not looking up Google or YouTube, or not going over to where like behind I do my mobility in the morning and evening. So it's like just saying if I'm going to work on my mobility, it is in the morning, is in the evening before I go to bed, and it is before training. But anything else, like learn to stop and sit with it, because my pain, my imbalance is not going to go away within like 20 seconds of like Dr. Google. You know what I'm saying? So it's like it is just learning to sit with it, which is like the biggest challenge.
Yeah. And so my therapist, oh my God, we should just like fucking bring her on one day. She told me this. She's like, you ever see an ex-boyfriend in the hallway? like at school or wherever you were, and you guys got in a really big fight or whatever, and like you just want to go up and cuss them out. Oh yeah, absolutely, because that's right up my alley. She's like, no, when these compul I want you to think of those as your compulsions, and when they come up, what do? You acknowledge them, you smile, and you wave, but you don't go and confront. And I was like, okay, all right, I will do that. And it's like when you think of it like that, it's like, yeah, like you said, it's uncomfortable. Like sitting in the room with like an ex-boyfriend that you had a huge falling out with. It's like, yeah, I'm uncomfortable, I'm sweaty, I'm nervous, I want to puke, I want to scream. But okay, it's gonna pass. One of us is gonna leave the fucking room, and we're gonna get over it, and the day's gonna go on. Sure, maybe your ex-boyfriend lives next door and you got to see him all the fucking time and it's there over and over, but you get a little bit better. It gets a little bit easier to see him each time. You don't act all the time. You're not screaming in their face. You're smiling, waving, and saying, all right, I'm moving forward. And I think that that was like really profound for me because I think about that all the time. Like when it's like, ooh, oh, maybe you should binge and eat a bunch of food. It's like, no, I'm just going to smile and wave and walk away.
No, I think that's super powerful because even if like you don't have OCD or like OCD type tendencies, like even just challenging what you think about a situation, like that's part of that perceived stress and stress management. And lately I've been butthole at that because like I've just been ripping myself apart, right? Like ripping myself apart for something, like I said, that's not even like really in my control, or I'm trying to control things that are outside of my control, which again is like making me mentally spiral. So it's like taking a step back, realizing that like it is okay. Like at the end of the day, I am safe. I am healthy. Like thankfully, my family, my friends are safe. They are healthy. We all have our struggles. And it's not to say that like you shouldn't have struggles or you shouldn't let them get the better of you. It's just understanding that they're there. They're there for you to work on, but they're not there for you to fixate and ruminate, right? Because like it's so easy in the sake of like self-progression to become self-obsessive, but that self-obsession turns into self-destruction, depending upon like who you are and what your temperament is. And unfortunately, with type A people, like it goes from, oh, I want to like, improve my health like I did fucking 11 years ago when I was morbidly obese, to now I cry over the fact that I have Tetris hips. When literally 11 years ago, like I had some pain and some functionality issues, but like my biggest mental stressor was just being fucking fat. And now I'm literally crying in the gym because of hips. Bruh, come on. Like, come on now.
I know. It's like it's hard though, because you're like when you look at it from like a external point of view, you're like, dude, that's so fucking pathetic. But like in your mind, you're like, it's really not that, like it's a huge deal. Like it really is. And like you said, like it's a really fine line of like that self-destruction, like walking in. Like it could so easily flip. And it's like that's where you have to know yourself well enough to be able to like navigate, and it takes time, and it's like lifelong learning with that, because
Oh,
there's
for
been
sure.
so it's not ever like, oh yeah, I'm gonna heal and always have this great self-awareness of like when I give myself grace in my mind versus when I can push myself and when I'm gonna push myself over the edge. It's like, dude, no, because you never know, because like there's so many external stressors and other things that are gonna adapt throughout life, and it's like, holy shit, dude, it's always overwhelming. But like you start building your toolbox and putting your tools in there, and you can use them over and over again, and they may have to change a little bit. You may need, a Phillips screwdriver versus like, I don't even know, a flat screwdriver, whatever, a flathead. But so it's like, oh, I didn't have that one. Now I'm gonna have to, figure out that skill. But it does help, and it does get easier. It's just we can be so hard on ourselves, and it sucks, dude. It sucks. It sucks to be like your like best friend and your own worst enemy at the same time.
And that's the problem that I'm having is I don't know what it's like to be a best friend of myself. Like, I know what it's like to give to everyone but myself. I know what it's like to give to everyone at the expense of myself. And like, unfortunately, that comes easy, right? That is easy to do because it's familiar. I am not familiar with what does grace and patience and understanding and kindness fucking start crying again. Jesus. But like, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that feels like. So it's like, it's scary, but it's also like in its own way, it gives me hope because it's like, well, shit, like you were saying, like it's not forever. Like there will be, an ending point. So it's like being excited to know that this pain will end, but then also being scared because you don't know what's going to go into it. But I think it's like, it's as much as it sounds like a fucking AA meeting, like acknowledgement that you have a problem is the first step, but it honestly God is. And then like reaching out to help when it comes to friends, family, like fucking professional help, just to have a support system, like that's kind of like your next step, and then like having a game plan. And so my biggest, like, I guess, focus right now is really trying to be process oriented, not results oriented, because that's a big problem that I have is like, I think that if I do the process, I get the results. And yes, that is true, but I'm too fucking consumed with the results of perfection, symmetry, evenness, that like the process is just fucking awful. And it's like, well, that's an issue.
I think what's going to help you, not that I know what's going to help you essentially, and that sucks because I want to help you. But like you said, you didn't know like what being there for yourself is. Like I did this and it's like, what is like things that you love about like your best friends and like instill those qualities in yourself. Like I had to like recreate who I was because I didn't like sitting in the room by myself with me. I love hanging out with me. Like I'm the coolest fucking person that I fucking know. No offense to all my friends out there, but like I love me. I love hanging out with myself because I created such a fun person to hang out with inside my head. But like I had to be rock bottom, completely broke to understand that I needed to be something more for myself. And I was like, all right, I remember telling myself, I can picture the fucking yellow flannel that I was wearing when I said this to myself. When I said, all right, I'm going to build the person I've always wanted in my life. Build the best friend and person in my life that I always wanted. And I'm going to build that person within me. And I remember it like so vividly to this day. And I was like, wow. Well, and I would like wake up and be like, wow, what would my best friend be doing right now? I was like, oh, she'd tell me I'm a bad bitch. All right, I'm a bad bitch. Let's go. Like I would say shit to myself like that because that's what I fucking needed. And maybe people don't need it to that extent, but like where I was and like where I needed to go, like that's what I needed to fucking do was like build up who I was through like a third person view in my own fucking mind.
No, I think that's super valuable because I think a lot of people are like me and struggle in that way where it's like they don't know themselves. Like they knew who they think they are or they know what people tell them. But when it comes to like having a, almost an identity crisis and it's like being alone with yourself, it's like, oh, let me just scroll on Facebook. Let me scroll on Instagram. Let me do TikTok, right? Because it's like being with myself and being with my thoughts, I don't enjoy that. And like as of right now, I fucking hate it. It's miserable as shit. Hence why Dr. PT Google YouTube, because it's like, oh, I want a solution because my brain is telling me I need to find a solution. So it's like just being okay with sitting there and being like, hey, guess what? You don't have a solution. Your hips are still uneven. It's okay. You have uneven hips. Like, move on. Like, do something that is actually worth your time, not just sitting there spiraling, because that's kind of essentially what I'm doing right now, is just spiraling.
And it's hard. It's hard to get yourself out of that spiral. It really is. Like when you're really deep in it. But it's not impossible. It's not possible. I know, like you said, you have the work ethic, you have the dedication, and you have the self-awareness to take the steps that you need to get out of it.
Yeah, just day one, be friends with myself. But speaking of something that I did nice for myself is Eric and I went downtown over the weekend. And dude, so you know about my septum piercing, right? I got my septum piercing February of 2020. The world fucking shut down because of COVID. 8 weeks post injection, Jesus, 8 weeks post piercing, I was supposed to go back for them to show me how to like remove it. Well, they shut down. Duh. Four years, it took me to just pop in and be like, hey, can you show me how to change this bitch? And they're like, yeah, just go ahead and book an appointment. Like, we'll see you in like a couple hours or whatever. And so the artist takes me back and like, you know, lays me down or whatever. And she's like this tiny little thing, hot as hell, like sexy, dirty. Like, you know what I say? You know what I mean when I say dirty, sexy? Like, you to me are dirty, sexy. You're like sexy in a dirty way. And I like that about you. I'm attracted to you in that way. She was dirty, sexy, right? She was Like it was like the world's tightest fucking key ring, right? Could not for the life of her get her open. So she brought some tools over and stuff. And eventually, like my eyes are watering because it's like, you know, being, it's like your nose hair is being pulled out. And like, oh my God, she finally gets it out. And then I get a replacement. So I have a nice little, like, little,
Ooh, yeah.
no, it's got onyx and stuff. So whatever the fuck you want to call this, a horseshoe. Then she got some lube. And I was like, where have I heard that before? But like lubes my nose up to like get this bitch in. But long story short, I either need little balls like this for my nose or I need clips because the little key ring thing,
Yeah.
fuck that.
Dude, I never went and got mine changed. I had it for 2 years. I didn't know how. I never went back. And then it just fell out one day. And I didn't know how, so I didn't know how to put it back in. But I think it was a blessing in disguise. But I'm glad that you were able to do something for yourself. Like, you deserve that, even though it took you 4 fucking years. It's fine. I mean, there's no timeline, but do some things for yourself a little bit more frequently.
Dude, no shit. Oh my God. So no, I love
Like,
my
you're like
I love
every
my black balls. Like, look at that.
you're like every leap year, I gotta do something nice for
Oh
myself.
my God, Jesus Christ. It can't be like that. But yeah, it was nice, right? Like it was something that was just like a nice little treat. Cause Eric was like, you literally wear that thing every single day. And I was like, yeah, but like it's just what I do. And he's like, exactly. So let's get you a new one. So that way, if you ever want to change it, get some cute stuff. You know, he was like, let me buy you something. Cause it's like I'm a difficult person to shop for because it's like my needs are like food and it's like okay well Costco grocery bills got that taken care of.
Oh my God, I know. Someone's like, your birthday's coming up. What do you want? I was like, supplements. They're like, what? I was like,
Or if a gym
supplements.
gift card, use MyoStrength at checkout.
Plug. I'm like, yeah, vitamin D. That's great. Hook me up.
Dude, speaking of vitamin D, when I got my labs back, I was like, oh, I need to stop taking vitamin D because my vitamin D was like 90. Because I'm just like, I walk outside, like, can you see this tan line?
Dude, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, I need to chill.
Oh man. Mine's really high because I've been walking. I mean, I'm in Ohio. I don't know how it is, but I've been walking outside a lot. That's why my upper half is tan and my legs aren't.
Dude, my tan lines are bad. Like, you see that obviously when I pose and shit. It's like bad.
It's bad.
But yeah, I don't have anything else. But thank you for being my friend and thank you for listening and honestly providing your words of wisdom because that helped more than I think you realize because it's like, I was dreading this podcast, kind of. I wasn't dreading the podcast. I wasn't dreading talking to you. I was dreading the fact that I knew I was going to cry because I view crying and being emotions as weak still. So I'm trying to be okay with being okay to have like emotional moments. Cause again, like to me, it's like, oh, you're such a fucking pussy. But like, bruh, you cry because you're in pain. You cry because you're going through like something hard. You cry because sometimes good just to release that shit. So I was dreading it because I didn't want to cry. But I cried twice, almost three times at the end. But guess what?
Feel
Nothing bad
better.
happened.
Yeah. And you feel better. So it's good.
Exactly. I do feel better.
It's all good things. So I'm glad this podcast was very enlightening, and I hope it helps not only you, but some of our other followers that may struggle in same or similar ways.
Yeah, if you see me in person, just give me a hug. Give me a hug because I need to give myself a hug.
Exactly. Yes.
But quick shout out to one of our followers, Angela. She received her fucking pro card over the weekend.
Congratulations. Oh,
Yeah, I believe it was Masters 35 in figure.
I think it was 35. I think I looked at
Yeah, she looked awesome. She still looks awesome. Like, it's not like she's let herself go within like a few days, but no, super happy and proud of her.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Well deserved. Well earned.
Yes, absolutely. But all right, guys, until next time, peace.
Adios.